And she's getting all over him, you know, getting after him. I said, Mom, just leave that boy alone. It's all right to tell the truth. Amen. So you pray for us. There was a mountain. There were three trees. There was a good man. There were two thieves. A man called Barabbas was doomed for the tree. But Jesus took the middle one, and Barabbas went free. And I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved me. Praise to the man who died on Mount Calvary. That middleman made it possible that I could go free. A hill called Golgotha, place of the skull. No yellow flowers, no trees in bloom. Scenery was three crosses stood black and bold against that angry sky. Not just from pain, from a broken heart, this middle man, he died. And I love that man. I know he first loved me. Praise to the man who died on Mount Calvary. That middle man made it possible that I could move free. Oh, died on Mount Calvary. That middle man made it possible that I could go free. Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad about that. There was a man, young man in a village years ago. He was a deaf mute. He could neither hear nor speak. And in that time they called him the village idiot because he could neither hear nor speak. They figured he didn't know anything. But on his deathbed, in his dying hour, he spake his first words. And he said, I see. I see. What do I see? And he said, three in one, and one in three, and the one in the middle died for me. Praise God. Sound like a wise man to me. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to say we appreciate your pastor and his wife, family, Praise God. You know, I hate to not fully understand something, and then somebody else call me and want to talk about it. So I figured the best way to get it straight is called one that said, huh? So that's what I tried to do. And I'm happy for the answer we received. Amen. Praise God. I want to read in Jeremiah 48. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10. And we'll read a verse or so in Zephaniah chapter 1. Amen. I want us to have a revival. You know who that depends on? You. God didn't say you can have a revival if all the homos get right, all the hypocrites straighten up, and all the worldly crowd comes in. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. It always depends upon God's people. And another thing I'd like to say here, don't want to wear you out, but God never has said we just don't have enough to get the job done. Two times in one chapter, he said the people are too many. Huh? Amen. It was bad odds when they had all of them. About 5-1. But when they got down there where God said, that's just right, it was a whole lot, about 45-1. Huh? And God said twice, the people are too many. But he never did ever say, we just don't have enough to get the job done. There is no restraint to our God to deliver by many or by few. God can, if you will, he will. He said he would. Amen. Jeremiah 48:10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. In the margin it says negligently. That is the most deceitful thing a man, woman, boy, or girl could do, is do the work of the Lord negligently. As urgent as it is, as supremely important as it is, it's utterly deceitful to do the work of the Lord negligently. So remember that next time the devil said, well, you don't have to go every night. Huh? If it's important to go to church every time they have church. Never miss. Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. You need to be ready to work diligently and fight courageously unto the end. Amen. You're going to have to be willing to work and fight. Working is not enough, you'll have to fight. Fighting is not enough, you'll have to work. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity, therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Zephaniah 1:12, this shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord. It shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees. I'll search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees that say in their heart, The Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. God's just not going to do anything. We're just going to keep going just like we are, and everything's going to be all right. Tomorrow will be just like this day and more abundant. Don't take it for granted. Don't really believe that. The Lord will do good, and the Lord will do evil. God will do exactly right. Just exactly what needs to be done. Therefore their goods, these men are settled on their leaves that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. The great day of the Lord is near. Don't put it far off. It's near. And it's near. He said it's near. It is near. He repeated, it is near. I mean, we ought to pay close attention when the Holy Ghost repeats himself. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. I've seen a lot of it. Imagine Brother Green seen more than I have. It's a horrible sight when a mighty man cries bitterly. Oh, it's awful. I want to try to preach on achievers who rest. Achievers who rest. Amen. Would you pray with me now again earnestly, sincerely? God, I need your help. I want you to stir the hearts of your children. Cry mightily unto you on our behalf, that we might do your perfect will, every soul in the building right now, and that we'd make a great change in this world around us by your help. Amen. Amen. Praise God. A man by the name of F.M. Young said, it isn't the incompetent who destroy an organization. The incompetent never gets in a position to destroy. It is those who have achieved something and want to rest upon their achievements who are forever clogging things up. Achievers who rest. Those who have done much. Those who excel. And then they look around and someone else hasn't done as much as I have. So I'll just rest a while. It won't work. Never has. Never will. I'd like to preach to us tonight. Amen. I've really enjoyed all these good things we've heard. And even the songs. Unfinished task. Perfect for this message. Think before you act. Study it out before you go. Think before you act and try to pray until you think like God thinks. And act before you speak. Praise God. You usually can tell who's going to do something, the one that doesn't talk about it a whole lot. If a man just talks and talks and talks and talks about what he's going to do, you can about mark it down. He's going to talk about it, but he's never going to get it done. Amen. Act before you speak, and speak what you do, and do as you say, and live what you teach, and practice what you preach. Praise God. That's good preaching, Brother Bill. Amen. God bless you. If there's ever been a generation that need to quit talking about it and get it done, it's us. We're closer to the end than any other generation has ever been. Judgment Day is coming soon, very soon. And I never saw a time when there's so many great works absent and such an abundance of words present. Let us not be guilty of allowing thinking and talking to rob us of doing and walking. You can talk and walk. You can walk and talk. You can think and do. You can be a hearer and a doer. Praise God. And if we'll put everything we have into this, it'll all be worth it after a while. I began to study on this message. I thought about our brother Prescott Sr. I told him I'd never forget his name. His name's William Houston Prescott. Amen. That's easy for me to remember. Amen. Praise God. You all may have heard the story. He's an old holiness preacher, 81 years old, and resigned his church, and they put a young man in. All the blessings of Brother Prescott upon him. And he still attended that church and loved it, loved all the people. And his wife was driving in oversight. She pulled right out in front of a big truck, dually or something like that. And it killed her instantly. And they care flighted Brother Prescott, I believe, to the hospital. But after a few days, they told all his people, his son, all of them, look like he's going to make it. He's doing well. He's getting better. Think he's going to survive. But his son called him and he said, I'm going to see Mama. Amen. Now, when you know you're going to die, and God showed you you're going to die, and you fix and leave this world, and your wife's already in heaven, don't you think it'd be worth working really hard to leave this world and saying, I'm going to see Mama? Huh? Praise God. We don't need to wait. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. I preached, and a young man was sitting back there. He's the only one, I think, in the whole church house. Everyone else is at the altar. And I went back, son. Said, son, don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to pray? He said, I will someday. I said, let's see you. He looked at me. I said, get saved someday. I want to watch you do that. Do that right now so I can watch you. Get saved someday. I said, oh, you can't do that, huh? I said, I'll tell you what, just go out in the future 5 little short minutes and get saved. Just jump ahead in time 5 minutes and get saved. Well, you can't do that either. Well, just go back in the past 5 minutes. It's 12 till, go back there about 17 till and just pray through and get saved 5 minutes ago. You can't do that either. Well, I reckon what I've been preaching is the truth. If you ever get saved, if you ever do anything for God, you will do it right now, because right now is all anybody has ever had. Huh? We have to do it now. And we need to do something while we have the time, because your time going to be over real soon. I told some of them, we're trying to build a house, and I said, I looked at all that gray hair and everything. I figured I better try to do it while I can, while I'm able. And I got started trying to do it, and I figured out I'm not able right now. Already waited too late. Huh? It was written in the dust on the back of a Greyhound bus. It's hard to make a comeback when you haven't ever been anywhere. Praise God. It's hard to make a comeback when you haven't been anywhere. Praise God. Somebody said, if you have never made a mistake in your life, that's because you've never done anything in your life. Amen. I listened to them get up and get their songbook and look right at it and start the wrong song, and I thought, my, huh? And, you know, that was when they were doing it, and I was sitting back there, and if you're looking right at it, why can't you sing the right song, you know? Praise God. Get up here and do it a few times. You'll probably do the same thing yourself. Huh? Praise God. I'm just saying, don't let fear of making a mistake hold you back from ever trying to do anything. And if you make a mistake, just start all over and do it right. Praise God. If you stumble, straighten up. If you fall, get up. Praise God. If you sin, repent. Praise God, but don't let all this, the devil come and tell you, I wouldn't try that, cause what if? What if? If I fall, I shall arise. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. If I fall, I shall arise. Praise God. You can get down, but don't stay down. Praise God. I said I want to preach tonight. Feel like I need to. God said in Amos chapter 6 verse 1, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Well, praise God. I go to Brother David Lamb's church. I feel very certain I'm doing just fine. And not if you're not doing your utmost for His highest, His highness. Not if you... Praise God, if you're falling short of the very best you can possibly do, you're not doing so great. If you are not doing more today than you were yesterday, then you need to get straightened out. Praise God. I'm going to read here in a minute and out of the Word of God, and we'll all understand a little better, I hope. I hope I do. Seems like every time I read it, it helps me. Praise God, talking about being faithful to church. It seemed like it come back to me. Brother Randy Webb said, I've got lots of compassion and leniency and love and mercy and grace for folks that miss church. He said, because I've missed church myself. And he said, even folks that miss church on Sunday, I have missed church on Sunday. So I have all this leniency and mercy and compassion for all of you that have missed church even on Sunday. He said, I missed church on Sunday one time in 30 years. And he said, if you absolutely cannot make it, you will be excused if you miss one time every 30 years. Huh? Praise God. I like it, don't you? Praise God. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Had a man working on a pump there at a rented house, and he owned it, and I lived there. And he goes to church, and we go to church. And it's getting late. We're the ones that don't have any water. My wife said, it's almost church time. Better go home and get ready. He said, I don't reckon it hurt to miss once. But folks that talk like that, it's never once. It's over and over and over and over. Praise God. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Now, praise God, this holiness preaching is a great adventure. You just never know which way you're going. I've got all these notes and everything here and had this all lined out, and it's not even going the way I thought it would. Hallelujah. Woe to them that lay out of church. Praise God. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And every time without fail, Jesus always comes to church. If you miss church, you miss a visitation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're going to have to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength if you ever get to heaven, because if you don't, you've broken every commandment in the whole book. Because all the prophets and the law hang on this great high, far above, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your understanding. Praise God. If you love Him like that, it'd take a tremendous something to keep you out of church on prayer meeting night. Praise, wouldn't it be awful if Jesus came on prayer meeting night? Huh? All those lying folks that say they love Him with all their heart stayed home for this, that, and the other, and knowing He's going to be at church. Huh? Praise God. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria. We worship in this mountain. That's what the Samaritan woman said. And God said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria. You can't trust in your church. I'm not saying you can't trust your church. You can trust your church. If your church is a church of God, you can definitely, I'm not talking about a denomination, I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Church of God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the real Jehovah's Witnesses. That's who I'm talking about. Praise God. If you're in that church, you can trust in your church, but do not put your trust in your church. You can trust in your preacher. You can trust in your shepherd. You can trust in your pastor. But do not put your faith in the wisdom of men. Put your faith in the power of God. Amen. Praise God. There may be times that Brother David can't help you. There'll never be a time God can't help you. Amen. I just thought about my son. If he called me and he said, Dad, I know you'd help me if you could, but I've got this problem and you can't help me. And he told me what it was, and I just have to agree with him. You're right, son, I can't do it. You know I would if I could. I wouldn't be upset with him. I'd be hurt, I'd be disappointed in me, but I wouldn't be upset with him. Won't you listen to me now, church? What if he called me and said, Dad, I know you can help me. I know you've got the very resources that I need. I'm sure, I'm absolutely certain you can help me. But I just don't believe you will. I'd say, hold it here a minute, boy. Who you think you're talking to? This is your old daddy. Huh? I love you with my life. I'd go to the ends of everything I could go to for you, and you know it. Don't you talk to me like that. Wouldn't you? Huh? How do you think God feels? How many think God can do it? Yeah, I do. How many believe He will? Well, I don't know about that. Huh? You what? You love yours more than He loves His? When God is love, and any love of any mother or any father is just a byproduct of His great love. And you're going to tell me you know He can, but you don't know whether He will or not. I'm afraid He's going to get angry about things like that. Praise God. Trust in the mountain of Samaria and not trust in Almighty God. Trust in your church and your activities and your ministries and your customs and your dinners and your property and your building and your pastor and praise God. Trust in the mountain of Samaria. Trust in your religion instead of trusting in the God of your religion. Amen. Put your name chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Praise God. Huh? Ye pass ye under county and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms? Or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. You know why America is in such a shape? Because folks put far away the evil day and began to lose their fear and their reverence for Almighty God. Prayer didn't go out of the school. It could have never gone out of the school except it already gone out of the home. Actually went out of the church. Well, lots of churches now don't have an altar because they never pray. He used to set aside a time of observance, of religious observance, in the public school, in the public workplace, a break, maybe 15 minutes a day, to pray, praise God, whatever. And then they cut it out. In the 1940s, they cut it out. And then they cut out prayer in the schools and place of work altogether. Now, it's illegal in these United States of America to observe a moment of silent prayer in the public work, in the public schools. But they observe a whole day of protesting the cruelty and the discrimination against the alternative lifestyle. They have a whole day for the homos. You can't have 1 minute for God. I'm telling you, we got a lot of achievers who have decided they're not going to work that hard now. They're going to slack off a little bit. It's all right to be religious, but you don't have to be a fanatic. It's okay to be religious, but don't put your whole life into it. It's not, don't let it just be the top thing in your whole world. Praise God, you better. I said you had better make sure that God and His work, His number one priority, highest goal, greatest aim, and most energy, the most resource of every kind poured into it to see that you make it into God's heaven or you won't. Jesus said, I marvel that so many people can just go right over that and it seems like it doesn't even affect them. Many. Jesus said, multitude. Jesus said, by far the great vast majority of folks in religious circles, who else would cry unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. Religious folks. The vast majority of religious folks. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have you? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have you? Have we not done many wondrous works in thy name? Have we? And he said, then shall I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That word no is the same word it said, Mary, the Virgin Mary said, I know not a man. It speaks of a very intimate relationship. Close. The closest. And Jesus said to many, help me, Holy Ghost. It's just words till the Holy Ghost gets in it. Many. Many, did you catch that? Many. The majority, the multitudes in religious circles are going to cry. Many will say, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, I don't know you. And few will enter into life. Many will hear God say, depart from me. I don't want the rest of you. I don't want to get thinking about how many miles I traveled, how many times to preach, how many gallons of sweat poured out, all these things. Say, well, I believe I'll go on a vacation and go to Disney World. My God, I don't want this world, anything in this world. I want to redeem the time. I want to buy every precious second. My God, I want to buy back lost time that I wasted in the world. I want to be diligent. I want to be consistent. I want to be insistent. I want to be persistent. Praise God, I want to go to God's heaven. God have mercy, ye that put far away the evil day and cause, that's the one that causes it. They cause the seed of violence to come near by there upon their beds of ivory. And they're stretched out on their couches. Praise God. Eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall that chant to the sound of the viol. Invent to them instruments of music like David. Drink wine in bowls, men of perverse minds, are thinking that godliness is gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain, but they think that prosperity, and they think that the world's goods, they think that riches, they think that material things is gain. Godliness is gain. I said it backwards a while ago. Godliness is gain. But these worldly things, they think that prosperity, they think that wealth, they think that gain materially is gain. They think that's godliness. They've got us mixed up. They think the riches of the world is godliness. Mercy. Well, I heard he was a real good preacher. If he's a good preacher and he's anointed and everything, what in the world's he doing driving that old rattletrap car? Well, one of our big pastors actually said that. Praise God. Praise God. He that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. God said, in all vineyards shall be wailing, and I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. I will pass through thee. Is that awesome? Is that fearful? God Almighty said, I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Every letter is capitalized. That means Jehovah. I will pass through thee. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. There's going to be no escape. There's going to be no way to get away. There'll be no place to run. There will be no place to hide. I mean, God's going to come like an overrunning flood and cover the world. And we are going to tomorrow. And God said today. And I will next week. One man was always planning on doing it after he retired. Well, he's been retired for 23 years now. But he's never got it done. And you're not going to either if you get in a habit of putting it off. Remember this. God proclaiming, I will pass through thee. I will pass through thee. What a thought. He said, let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. He said, take away from me the noise of thy song. I'd hate to sing and God not want to hear it. For I will not hear the melody of thy vows. Though you offer me burnt offerings and meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. I hate. God Almighty speaking said, I hate, I despise your feast days. That's all your religious observance. I hate it. And I will not smell in your solemn assembly. I hate the smell of your church. I can't stand to look at your congregation. My God. My God. Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? Is our power not our power? Are we not it? Didn't we do it? Shouldn't we get the glory for it? God said, I will not give my glory to any other. Amen. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heaven. Behold, as the eyes of servants look upon the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us. Real children of God, God doesn't have to have thunder and lightning, all that. They're watching his hands. Real servants of God are watching his hands. You know, after that man had been the man's servant all of his life, you know, and he's getting gray-headed, and he's been there 50 years, his old master didn't have to say, John, go do this. He just moved his finger, moved his hand, made some kind of gesture. John knew exactly what he's talking about, and went and got it done. And God said, we're supposed to be, the psalmist here, Psalm 123, said, as the eyes of servants look upon the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he will have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease. Did you hear that? You know why they despise real holiness, folks? Because they're at ease in Zion. And because they have self-righteousness that they accuse you of having. Because they have that holier-than-thou attitude that they accuse you of having. And because they're so high and mighty and so great and spiritual, that they can have it and not even have to do what God said. And they don't want to be a little servant like you. They don't want to obey God like you. They want to have their new revelation and their new light and have the same opening of the eyes that our first father and mother had in the Garden of Eden, and that they can be as gods and know between good and evil. Now, praise God, actually nothing's evil for them. They're too good. And they scorn, they in contempt, they ridicule, they reject, they hate, they despise, they abhor, they loathe the holiness of God. got the spirit of the devil in them, makes them want to be God. That is the devil's number one theme, doctrine, apotheosis. The doctrine that a man can be God. That's why every male moron, Mormon, got one letter wrong there. They all think one day I'll be God. And I'll rule over my worlds, however many it is. It's the most foolish, silly, fantasy that it's unbelievable how ignorant it is. But they like it because it lets them be God in the stead of God. They actually say that there was a time when Jesus Christ was not God. But he worked his way into it. Yeah, God have mercy. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. Hallelujah. When it came time to create, Jesus created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. He's God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Praise God, that's a clear distinction of persons. The Word was with God. You didn't go to the grocery store with yourself. Praise God. You didn't come to the altar with yourself. You don't say, I went over yonder with myself and I, praise God, somebody knows you've got to have your head read. You got static in your attic. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Word was with God. If you don't know what it means, the Word and the Father is two different persons. Praise God. If you don't understand that when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, that's just another person. If you don't know there's a Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, praise God, you need to get saved so God can give you that spirit of sound mind. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease. Yeah. Yeah, she stood right up while I was preaching. I should have never did. Praise God. I never thought about any of this before I got up here. It's good, though. Don't you doubt it. It's just right. It's wonderful. Don't you ever doubt it. I said, I never have met anybody that got saved in the Oneness Church. Everyone I ever knew was a proselyte they dragged out of a Trinity Church. And I said, I felt that. I better say that again and say it a lot louder. Huh? Because the devil just told me I shouldn't have said it. So I said, I never did meet anybody that got saved in the Oneness Church. Only ones I ever knew was the one they dragged out of the Trinity Church. Make them twofold more a child of hell than they are. She stood up. Woo. Little old lady stood up. About 6 foot, 6'2", something. Mercy. She looked down at me and said, I did. I said, do tell. She said, I hope you get saved, preacher, so you won't split hell wide open. She said, I prayed through to the real baptism of the real Holy Ghost. Praise God. I laughed. Couldn't help it. It's not nice to laugh in ladies' faces, especially when they're about ready to cuss you out right in the church house. Huh? Praise God. I couldn't help it. She just tickled me so good, I couldn't keep from it. I just laughed out loud. Look here. Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you so much. You and the devil have preached that message so much better in 30 seconds than I could if I wore myself out for an hour. I said, church, if you don't know what kind of devil that is now, you never will. Huh? Stand right up in a Trinity church that says Trinity on a lighted sign outside and tell me I'm going to hell because I'm Trinity? What kind of brazen devil is that? So don't you ever come up and tell me, I wouldn't say anything against them. I'm going to say they're going to hell because they're against me and I'm going to heaven. Huh? And there's no division in the church of God. There's no division in the family of God. I'm gonna say another few couple words about that right now, just cause I feel like it's the will of God. You'll never be saved by water baptism or regeneration, no matter what your preacher says. I don't care what kind of formula he has. You'll not be saved by being ducked in a water hole. Nobody ever has. Nobody ever will. You're going to be washed in the blood of Jesus. It's going to be regeneration of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what happens when you really get saved. The Holy Ghost takes right a hold of you and baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ. And that can't happen unless there's a Trinity. So you can't get saved without the Trinity. I mean, there's no sacrifice on Calvary without the Trinity. How the eternal Son offered himself unto the eternal Father through the eternal Spirit. Read Hebrews 9:14 and see what God's got to say about it. There was no sacrifice. There is no offering. There is no salvation. That's not going to work without a Holy Trinity. Praise God. And if you know it, find out more about it. Learn it better so you have a better chance to help these precious, priceless souls that Jesus died for, that the devil came along and deceived with religion. Praise God. Well, I wish that I thought of something to say to him. You would if you had God's Word hid in your heart. Amen. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease. I know about all of you probably heard it. A lady came to Brother Leon Buzzard and said, are you one of those holier than thous? And Brother Leon said, well, lady, it's according to how holy thou art. If you're one of those people that sin all the time, I hope I'm holier than you. If I'm not, I'm going to go to hell with you. Oh, glory to God. Achievers who rest. Amen. Praise God. They came out there. Brother Benny Sutherland and Brother John Gabbard walked out the old gymnasium up there where they have church during the camp meeting at the Reformed Dutch Reformed School campground and dormitories and all that. And they walked out and Brother Benny said, oh, Brother Leon, how in the world could you scalp us and skin us like you did? And Brother Leon said, it's easy when it's white people. Praise God. Amen. Did you ever read in this authorized King James Version where it said, let God smite me, it shall be a kindness? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. There's so many things coming, I don't know what to say. Huh? Glory to God. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. You'll never see some worldly outfit come up to you and they don't feel like they're condescending to even talk to you. Some worldly, ungodly Pentecostal, they look down their nose at you, and they do feel so sorry for you. Huh? You're praise God. You're judgmental, and you're legalistic, and you have all those old do's and don'ts, and you're in such bondage. I'd like to say, I have the glorious liberty of the children of God, because that's what my Bible said. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Oh, God have mercy. I'm not going to tell you how I live. I'm not too ashamed, embarrassed to tell you how I live, but all the men I worked with knew how I lived. They thought it was wonderful. They wish, some of them wish they were me. Huh? And get in the whole mess I'm in. You know, I got saved. I got sanctified. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. And I got called to preach. And the Lord told me to go. And he told me to quit my job. And did. And so I had to give him a notice. I won't be back. After the first of the year, I won't be back. And my big, tall, hypocrite friend. I said, my big, tall, hypocrite friend. One of the best friends I had. Do anything for me, I'm sure. Felt like he would. And just as much a hypocrite as you could be. Told filthy jokes, took God's name in vain, everything when he's around the center board, and he tried to get religious when he got around me. He said, you gonna be a preacher, huh? Whole crew's out there in the loader bucket, 400 Huff International, 12-yard bucket, sitting there eating lunch. And he said, you gonna be a preacher, huh? And I said, well, the Lord's called me. He said, well, you're not going to be one of them that hollers and screams and spits, are you? I said, Lord, I hope so. I wouldn't want to be nothing else. Huh? Would you? You want to go to a dead church? You want your preacher to get up and preach that you cannot feel the Spirit of God? Did you know that's what these Church of Christ folks have to listen to? The age of miracles is past. You want to hear that? I mean, just so you can do anything in the world you want to do, do you want them to teach you how to speak in tongues? Do you want to buy records and learn how to improve your prayer language? Speaking in some kind of gibberish? Do you want the devil to anoint you when you come to church? Would you love to have a good case of the windshield wiper religion? Go, hallelujah. Huh? My God, why don't you shout a whole lot more than you do? Huh? Why don't you run the aisles and leap for joy? Why don't you stand up and holler glory to God till your neck sticks out? Huh? Until your veins stick out and your face turn red. Glory to God, we're the most blessed people on the face of the planet. We ought to act like it. Huh? I said we ought to act like it. And if you really believe that you're free from sin, you're born again, you're happy night and day, it'll make you shout, there's no doubt. Praise God, just cause you know I've been born again. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I'm not gonna let down, and I'm not gonna get down, I'm gonna get up. I'm not gonna let up, I'm gonna get up. I'm going to stand up. Praise God, after just a little while here, I'm going to go up. Well, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this church house. The heaven of heavens can't contain our God, but he's right here in this little old church house right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't want some so-called prophet going in some kind of demonic trance. And a mumbling and a carrying on, and they write it all down. And then the legend is that Muhammad went to the seventh heaven riding on a horse and had the face of a woman. My Lord in heaven. And then the devil jumps up and down and tells everybody they're crazy because the holiness preacher tells them they can live above sin. If you can believe in a horse with the face of the woman going to the seventh heaven, I mean believing that God can help you live above sin, ought not to be so strange. He's holy. And he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And he prayed, God, you don't have to do it. He said, God, I'm God, and I'll work in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. It is God that worketh in you. It is God that worketh in you. Paul said he works in me mightily. I got that spirit in me. That spirit that's working in me mightily. And it's a spirit of holiness. And Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I heard him. I heard him. He said it over and over and over. Every time it sticks out like a sore thumb to me, I can't hardly stand that. Please don't say that around me. It's not all in the shout. I'm sure glad we wouldn't have nothing. Around here, this deadhead bunch, this dry hide bunch, we wouldn't have nothing if it's all in the shout. That's the way I felt when they was over there talking all that stuff. It's not all in the shout. Praise God, I got up to preach at the fellowship meeting and the whole gang up there. I mean, a bunch of them lining the walls. I mean, woo. And sometimes I preach and I pretty well know what I'm going to say and think about what I'm going to say. And sometimes I preach and it just comes out. And it looks like I don't have hardly anything to do with it. And that's when I love it the most. Huh? So I'm up there little and ignorant, pitiful as I am, and all these big preachers there, and I said, some of them been saying it's not all in the shout. Praise God. I got attention then. I said, I'll tell you one thing, my God is all in all. And when my God is in the shout, it's all in the shout. I tell you why it don't shout. It's too sorry to shout. Makes you sweat to shout. It messes up your hairdo to shout. Praise God. That makes you humble to shout. You have to lose that old pride to shout. Praise God. They used to shout. They used to achieve. I mean, folks used to run, hardened sinners used to run to the altar when the saints of God went to praising God and went to dancing in the spirit and went to hollering hallelujah. Praise God. Till it's a war out and their voice was gone. Thank God. God came down. He said, I inhabit the praise of my people. We're working on a building. Praise God, no matter how long you've been working them, don't get weary with construction. Keep on working on the building. I'll tell you how you build this building, hollering hallelujah. Hollering glory to God. Praise the Lord. Bless His name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Huh? Praise God. You don't want to build a little old shack. You don't want to build a little lean-to. Thank God. You need to build a palace. I mean the palace of all palaces. Because we're building a home for the Almighty God to dwell in. When you shout glory to God, don't say glory to God. Say glory to God. Praise God. Get it up high. Make it large. Make it luxurious. Make it wonderful. Furnish it the best you know how. And let the Holy Ghost supply the rest. Thank God we're working on a building. It's a habitation. It's a fit habitation. For the King of Kings. And a Lord of Lords. And a God of God. Amen. If you've been an achiever in the praise of the Lord part of it, become a greater achiever. If you hollered hallelujah 50 times last night, holler 60 times a day. Praise God. I'm talking about we need to climb higher and dig deeper and get stronger and be more like Jesus. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Ain't that something now? I just got ready to say, well, I wouldn't run around the church. I'm afraid I might get in the flesh. Well, thank God it'd be better to be running around the church praising God in the flesh than it would be sitting there like a stump, not on a log in the flesh. Get on out of the flesh. Get over in that realm of Holy Ghost communion and talk to your God, and you'll have to start praising Him. You'll just have to start adoring. You'll have to start loving. It'll absolutely become worship every time you get in His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. This word lees indicates aged wine. a feast of wines, well-refined wines on the lees. This expression speaks of excess. It speaks of plenty. It speaks of riches and bounteous stores. It speaks of, if we're not careful, about a bunch of folks in a church saying, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. And Almighty God is saying, you're poor and blind and wretched and miserable and naked, and my sons are standing outside and knocking on the door, and you won't even let him in because you've got all you want without him. Praise God. Oh, David danced before the Lord with all his might. And his wife got just as sarcastic as she could. Oh, wasn't the king of Israel glorious today? What do you mean, pastor? Why are you running around like that for? Lord God, she said, you've uncovered yourself before the servants of your servants. Not just before your servants, before the handmaidens of your servants. And he didn't say, well, I'm sure sorry, queen. He said, I'll yet be more vile than thus. I may be the greatest dancer in Israel, but I'm going to be better. I dance with all my might, but I'm going to do better than that. How in the world can you do that? If you dance with all your might, how you suppose you could do any better and be more vile than that? My God's almighty. He sees me getting a feeling that again. I get in another holy roller meeting. I get feeling like dancing again. He's going to give me more might. I dance with all my might, but I'm going to have more next time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, I don't know what to do. There's a young man, he's a world-class sprinter. He's right up in top five. And his trainer, see, they have this tradition. There's a custom, there's rules, there's things that, limitations that you have to observe in a 100-yard dash, 100 meters. Now they go all out, start to finish. 200 meters, you have to let up a little bit at one point, or you'll run out of strength in the stretch, heading toward the finish line. But his trainer sort of detected, and this guy's proud and haughty and strong and young and arrogant, super athlete. And his trainer, I don't know which one of them mentioned it first, but he said, I believe you've got it in you to go all out the whole 200 meters. I believe you got it, son. I believe you can do it. He said, I believe I can too. So that's what they did. All out, 200 meters, all out, wide open, every ounce of strength you got. He didn't break the world record, he shattered it. Huh? I said he didn't just break the world record, he shattered the world record. Because he didn't let up for one second. He went all out, all the way, twice as far as the world class men went all out. They went all out 100 meters, he went all out 200 meters. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not time to let up. It's not time for you ladies to trim the dead ends off your hair. It's not time to put on a little outline makeup. Or any, whatever the world is, that cover-up stuff. Huh? It's time to just be you, and be clean, and be a light. Hallelujah. It's time to live everything God said. And no pride is into that. No pride. No outward adorning. No trying to be anything you're not. Praise God. And just go all out. Don't worry about running out of strength. You're plugged into almightiness. Eternal almightiness. Praise God, there's an ocean of it. You can't imagine or comprehend how big it is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I know I won't preach all night. Maybe I am, but in a way I don't, so I might have to quit. Hallelujah. Huh? Praise God. I don't know how many times I've mentioned it here lately, and I got blessed every time, so I might just mention it again. I was going down the road. Lonesome road. 2:30 in the morning. Dark. All alone. Isolated. Sitting in that old car. Wore out. Tired. Sleepy. By myself. Homesick. Driving along. Had the radio on. And I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. It only helped me a little. Keep me awake a little bit. Had it on the religious station. I feel it coming on again. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know. I was driving down that road. There's a black lady come on there. I don't know how she lives, and I don't know a thing about her. She got singing a song. I got the feeling in my heart. I didn't know how true it was for her, but I knew it was true for me. Driving down that old lonesome road, way in the early morning hour, she's singing, I got a new home over in Zion, and it's mine, mine, mine. I got a new home over in Zion, and it's mine. Mine, mine, I found the love of God over in Zion, and it's mine, mine, mine. I found the love of God over in Zion, and it's mine, mine, mine. I got a new home over in Zion, and it's mine, mine, mine. I got a new home over in Zion, and it's mine, mine, mine. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know about the time the Holy Ghost got this right. I looked there, and there's a wide place beside the road. Plenty of room to slow up and pull off, and I slowed up and pulled off. And I opened up the door and left the radio on. Praise God. She's still singing. I got a new home over in Zion, and it's mine, mine, mine. I got a new home over in Zion, and it's mine, mine, mine. Hallelujah. Brother Smith, I pulled out there on the side of the road and opened up my door, and I got outside, and I started to walk around the car, and I took a few steps. Praise God. I could hear her singing, I got a new home over in Zion, and it's mine. Is it yours? You got one? A mansion? Praise God. You're going to be a king and a priest in a kingdom of kings and priests. You're going to live on Glory Street. Praise God, in a mansion. Praise God, eternal in the heavens, made without hands. Praise God, I want to be an achiever. Thank God, and I want to achieve more on my last day than I did when I first started. And I want to climb higher and do more for God. Whoa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't get past the front fender. I started walking. Praise God. And I heard that in my head. And I felt it in my heart. And I knew it in my soul. Praise God. And I walked a couple steps. Hallelujah. I got a new home over in Zion. Amen. Can you lift your hand and shout hallelujah? Is it in your heart to holler praise God as loud as you can? Don't you know He's worthy? Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and praise and blessing and riches and praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory to God. Somebody obey God. Somebody let God have his way. Somebody lift up your heart with your hand unto God in the heaven and say, here I am, Lord. Take a look at me. Praise God and help me do better tomorrow than I ever did before. I want to love you more. I want to serve you better. I want to pray more. I want to read more. I want to understand your word better. Help me, God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I was in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the holy angels and all the saints and dead. I was compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Thank God. I felt like a bunch of them were dancing in the Spirit and I hollered Hosanna. Praise God. Hallelujah. I read it in the Bible. They're crying hallelujah. Praise God. They praise the Lord God omnipotent. Hallelujah. And they said, hallelujah. Brother Jeff Metcalf, he takes some off his holy roll of fits you ever saw in your life. He just jumps every which way and slings his arm and kicks his feet and looks like he's trying to go every direction on the compass all at the same time. And some of them ask him, Brother Jeff, why do you act like that? He says, like that. He said, I got about 1,000,000 hallelujahs down here on the inside of me. And when I get to feeling like this, they're all trying to get out at the same time. He said, they just knocked me every which way. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm praying for. I'm praying for more hallelujahs. Praise God. The glory did roll. I was happy and free. I'd heard a sweet voice speak pardon to me. Such a wonderful joy I was feeling within. When the Savior in love saved me from all sin. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. I wish everybody in the house just obey the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what we did, brother. Brother Green. Out there beside the road. Me and the Holy Ghost, Holy Trinity, had a camp meeting all by ourselves. Thank God. I never have felt better in my life. And the devil come by and he said, see, people see you acting like that, they'll think you're a fool. They'll have to call the police and take you in. I said, I'll tell you what I think about that devil. I just walked over and went shouting again. Huh? I said, you scared me so bad, I believe I'll shout a while longer. Huh? Hey, God. That woman was singing, I got a new home over in Zion. I got the Holy Ghost. I found the Holy Ghost over in Zion, and it's mine, mine, mine. I found the Holy Ghost. I found the love of God. I found the praise of God. I found the life of God. I got a new home over in Zion. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. There wasn't nobody out there looking at me. Not nobody but the Lord. And I've always been self-conscious. And always bashful. Couldn't say a word in front of people. Lord God. So out there all by myself was a wonderful good place. Just praise the Lord. With everything in me. And what He's given me. Everything He would give me. I just praised Him. Hallelujah. Lord God, you know you can get lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost.